Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them
the
free.
Devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California. And your brain masseur, get ready for your brain massage. The Biden blind. Oh yeah, bright light of missile insight coming at you from the brain masseur today. Why is it important to assess any danger correctly? Well, simply put, you wouldn't want a guy treating you for cancer when your problem was, let's say, a broken arm. You know what I mean? And what's a preacher to do? What is a pastor's role in times like these that try men's souls? Friend, it's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
All right, got a little prophet's boil stirring me up here, and forgive me while I try to talk to you around a lozenge, but I've got to vent, my friends. Good news from afar country is like water to a thirst. How does that go exactly? Here it is, Proverbs 25:25, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. French Senate overwhelmingly rejects mandatory vaccinations. The vote was 262 to 64. 160,000 in France go into the streets to march against vaccine mandates. Italian town council rejects Green Pass as criminal extortion. Italianos mass in streets protesting this Green Pass. Hundreds of port workers in Italy are striking against vaccine mandates. And the UK is erupting against vaccine mandates, but it's not all pretty. Violence is breaking out here and there. The police are bullying protesters rather than giving them room to redress their grievances against the government. A government that wants to enslave them, make them their collectivist cattle, to brand them with their shot, their jab, their symbol of ownership. Our cousins across the pond are standing against mandatory vaccinations. Let's stand with them. And against jabbing the children. Stay away from our kids, they're chanting. I'm not an experiment, they're chanting. Another article. Thousands protest against UK government's plan to use fascist vaccine passports. Well, here's an article reporting Denmark, Germany, and the UK have called off vaccine passports, at least for now. And Germany has officially declared no forced vaccination. Wow, well, this follows some pretty tense stuff that went on that I'll talk about in a moment. And Australia is beginning to stand up against the tyranny imposed on them from the CCP influence on their country. Massive anti-lockdown protests underway in Melbourne. Pray for these brave protesters all over the world. And in addition to these I've named, Ireland, seeing massive rallies against COVID passports and lockdowns, shouting shame on you and no vaccine passports and end the lockdown. In Greece, in Israel. Finally, in Thailand, calling on their prime minister to resign, kind of like France demanding the resignation of Macron. Netherlands, Finland, Japan, Spain, Lithuania, Portugal, Slovakia, to name those who are making the news, are actually breaking through the news barrier, because you probably haven't heard about much of that at all. And in America, too, yeah, New York is about to erupt. De Blasio, like some third world dictator, tells New Yorkers, quote, if you want to participate in our society fully, you've got to be vaccinated, end quote. He warns the mandate will be enforced beginning September 13, but New Yorkers are coming out in force. Here's an article quoting, more than 1,000 people protested the mayor's COVID vaccine mandates outside City Hall on Wednesday, end quote. One protester said they are using us like lab rats. Another said flatly, I'm not taking the vaccine. And New York teachers, subway train operators, and city employees are walking away from de Blasio's fascist dictatorship. The New York Police Benevolent Association has promised to sue the city if officers are required to take the shot. The city has not decided whether or not it will require officers to take the jab. It's the people versus the government, ma'am. And we're in a devolution cycle. Power, political, military, and economic, moves in a cycle of accretion and devolution. During accretion, power tends toward increasing concentration into the hands of the wicked and unreasonable. Well, because these sorts of people have a lust for power over others, and they're always reaching out to grab it. I call this phase in the cycle of people versus government accretion, a gradual increase in power centralized in the hands of wicked and perverse people. You see, good people are content to live out their lives providing goods and services to their neighbors on an equal footing. They're okay with people disagreeing with them. They don't feel the need to control the lives of those around them, to control what they say, for example, you know, what pronouns they can use, all this nonsense, or what they believe, or what they read, or what they hear. But there are always those whose greed drives them to control their neighbors, to oppress them, to rule over them. And these are the people who crave power and seek it. So you can see that a situation where one group is relatively careless about power and so tends to ignore it, and then you have another group, however, who craves power, and then naturally this moves toward a circumstance where the wicked end up with the power. You follow what I'm saying? Now, I should interject. When the good are alert to this danger, they can be motivated to seek power for the purpose of protecting their rights and protecting the people from these government wolves. But there are always fewer of these than there are of those who covet power for personal gain and will stand up to go after it. Trump is an example of someone who decided to seek power in order to protect the people from the government. Reagan was like that. These guys had the same idea about this that our founders had. Government in the hands of power-greedy, wicked people is always destructive of good. In fact, the Bible says when the wicked are in authority, the people mourn. When the righteous bear rule, the people rejoice. So anyway, in the first phase of this power cycle, power increasingly gets concentrated into the hands of the wicked and unreasonable in any culture or society. But at some point along the way, the people begin to feel the oppression. They begin to resent the bullying of the evil abusers of power, and they start rising up and kicking back and bucking against it. This begins a period of devolution, where power begins to be returned to the people. It starts being taken from the top and shifted downward, downward, downward back to the people. During this period, power is decentralized, where the wicked and unreasonable are opposed and challenged. And that's what you're seeing happen around the world right now. The people are beginning to wake up to what has happened and they are protesting. They're rising up. But the wicked and unreasonable don't give up their power willingly. In fact, they use it to fight the people. They turn the power they have in government against the people who put them in power. So let's take a moment to get the big picture here, shall we? Get the spiritual side of all this. The wicked and unreasonable, well, these guys are children of Satan. Yeah, that's what Jesus said. That's why they use the methods of Satan to accomplish their goals. You see what Satan does? He does by lies, because he is a liar. In fact, he's the father of it. He hates Jesus Christ, who is the truth. Satan is called the destroyer, his name Apollyon, which is also translated perdition. Well, Jesus warned us that he has come as a thief to steal, kill, and destroy. Satan's agenda is to break the bands and cords of Christ that are set in this world since his resurrection and serve to restrain the devil from realizing his objective to bring the world together into a one-world dictatorship under a man the Bible calls the son of perdition. This is why the solution to every problem coming from these wicked and unreasonable demoncrats and these republic rats involves lying, stealing, killing, and destroying. That's why every blue state is a cesspool. It's why New York City is the most rat, literally, the most rat-infested city, I think they said, in the world. The wicked who love darkness and who hate the light, who love lies, who love stealing and killing and destruction, they use these things to gain and maintain their power. Look, the reason they don't stop the rampant murder in Chicago and New York is because, you know, that's what they do, man. That's their thing. Murder, you know, killing, stealing, destroying. That's what these people do. And Americans have been deceived into allowing these sorts of people to get into power, where they used that power then to ensure they never lose that power. And they've done this mostly by rigging the elections. Remember that Satan, a.k.a. Lucifer, Isaiah 14, some of you say, well, I don't believe in him. Well, your enemies do. He is the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Remember that Saul Alinsky dedicated his book, Rules for Radicals, to his god, Lucifer. That's right. I've got a copy. I've seen it. Remember, this same Saul taught Obama and Hillary. Yeah. And virtually all the modern-day Marxist Nazis learned from him how to subvert America. Remember that the god of this world, that is, the god that is worshipped by this world, Satan, can take captive those who are children of disobedience under his power anytime he pleases. So think about how utterly foolish it was to put people into power over us who hate God, hate truth, and ultimately hate you. They have no regard for liberty. Their view of justice is utterly perverse. And now they've used the power Americans foolishly gave them to steal from America the power to consent to the govern. Yeah, now we're ruled by the consent of the governing, right? By wicked and unreasonable men and women who are dictators ruling us by fiat, they declare, and if we resist, we're beaten into submission. So let me give you a little insight on what's been going on out there in France. You know, it was show your health passes or go to jail. Yeah, the police were using water cannons and tear gas against demonstrators. In Australia, they're still using helicopters to corral citizens gathering in public. You know, you ever watch a large cattle rancher send out his helicopters to corral his cattle? Yeah, military drones and helicopters patrol Sydney, with soldiers in the streets demanding people to disperse or they'll get fined. Why do you send soldiers out for that? Violence erupts outside the UK Parliament. Yeah, it's the people versus the governments, man, in each of these cases. In Germany, hundreds of citizens are beaten and arrested in an anti-lockdown protest. Hey, what happened to consent of the governed? It's become consent from the governors. Do you suppose the police in Germany are proud of themselves today? In Greece, tear gas and water cannons were used to attack the people who were protesting their government. The justification for all this egregious effrontery to personal liberty is, it's for your own good. That expression, by the way, just happened to be exactly what Hitler's goose steppers were using in Germany when he was establishing his dictatorship. Which led, by the way, to the carting Jews off to death camps. Nazis and all other Antichrist ragers love death. Death is their solution, I mean, to every problem. Unwanted pregnancy? Kill the baby. Overpopulation? Let's kill a few billion. Yeah, this is what they're telling us on inscribed on that stone in Georgia. No more time for that right now. Undesirables? Let's just call them deplorables. Just kill them off, you know. Murder is in their heart. Okay, look. I've written a few books. One of them is God's War, Why Christians Should Rule the World. This book provokes an interesting conversation, does it not? I get it all the time. How can you say something like this? And by the way, invariably, and you would think ironically, it's often the Christian who objects to the statement, more so than others. But I ask them first, well, who do you think should rule the world? Satan? Do you think the wicked and unreasonable should control the levers of government power? Is that your idea of a good idea? If you do, you are in disagreement with our founders. John Jay, our first Supreme Court Chief Justice, said believers should desire believers in Christ to serve in the offices of our republic. Alexander Hamilton had a vision to organize believers into groups that would work toward ensuring Christians were recruited and supported to run for office in this country. John Adams, George Washington, all of them really, made statements to this effect that our liberties cannot be entrusted to men who deny the source and foundation of them. The source, all men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. A little something from Mason and Jefferson and Benjamin, who put that together. The foundation, the Holy Scriptures, and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Patrick Henry said in Congress Assembled, it must be remembered that America was built not upon religion, but upon the gospel of Jesus Christ. So our focus needs to be to preach the gospel. If God does not help us restore the consent of the governed, we are doomed to live under the consent of the governors. And we must move forward, calling this nation back to God. Hold on to the break, my dear friends. I'll be right back.
God's War, Why Christians Should Rule the World. A shocking statement to many, but our founders didn't think so. John Jay believed Christians should prefer believers to rule our nation because Jesus is the King and all mankind are subject to his crown.
Our founding fathers understood this and acknowledged Christ as King. Satan once boasted all the kingdoms of the world were his, but no longer. Because when Jesus died on the cross, he broke the power of Satan over this world and cast the prince of this world out. When Jesus rose from the grave, he declared, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Jesus sent his Spirit into the world, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But where the spirit of Antichrist is, there is tyranny. The spirit of Jesus Christ is greater than the spirit of Antichrist. Now, you can learn how to unleash the power of Christ into the world to defeat the spirit of Antichrist. Learn how you can defend liberty through the authority of Jesus Christ. Get God's War, Why Christians Should Rule the World, today. www.godswar2020.com. Go to GodsWar2020.com.
Devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter. Lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. The Biden blind. You know, when you're hunting certain game, you set up a blind. Some distance from that, you put out maybe some bait or a situation you could attract prey. I think the bungling Biden routine is something of a blind. Whether or not Biden is play-acting the whole thing, or whether he's exaggerating his senility to game us, or whether it's his handlers who are capitalizing on his growing dementia, actually is irrelevant. The fact is, Biden's a blind. He's a decoy, a diversion, and many on the right are buying into it. So much focus is given to what a bungling idiot he is. And certainly that's true. And what a failure he is. But friend, he's not failing. He's succeeding at everything he's trying to do, which is to destroy America. First, for the sake of argument, grant that Biden is, after all, the most popular president the world has ever known. What a joke. You don't know that his bungling and fumbling was evident during the campaign? And in that particular scenario, they voted for him anyway? So, first, it doesn't matter to them. Obviously, they chose him to run. And second, it diverts attention from the fact that Biden and his entire administration are traitors. Treason is the issue, friend. The focus needs to be on the treason of this man. That's occurring right in our faces. We need to pull down the Biden blind and expose him for the fraud that he is. He has always been a fraud. He plagiarized his way through college and has continued all along the way. If you look at the right places and listen, you will see that this man is the most cruel, obscene, the most racist, and the most vile man to ever enter American politics. And when you think of guys like Kennedy killer Lyndon Baines KKK Johnson, that's saying something, friend. I know Biden's blundering is an attractive target. His hair sniffing nonsense. Someone said, "We have finally found a good use for our tinfoil hats. Put them on our kids so this guy can't sniff their hair." Thank you, Zachary. But we need to aim all our firepower at Biden, the usurper, who is not representing America. The man's a traitor. He's representing the interests of the Chinese Communist Party. That party, by the way, that is right now planning to attack the United States. Come on, they're even talking about it among themselves in their country, probably as proxy in what the America-hating left hopes will be a civil war. Don't fall for it. So what is a preacher to do? What is a pastor's role in these times that try men's souls? I'll have to finish out my thoughts on this topic tonight during our live stream because I can see I don't have all the time I would like for that. But let's get started. In the days of Ahab and Jezebel, that priestess of Ashtoreth from Zidon, who married Ahab and used her position as queen to advocate for the ecumenical religion of Baalism or Baalism. In my book, The New Cart Church, in chapter 3, I show that Baalism is ancient ecumenicalism. Every notion of God is valid so long as you don't espouse any notion of an exclusive God, a one and only, a God who is God and no one else is. You can't do that. So Chemosh was the Baal of the Moabites. Moloch was worshipped by the ancient Canaanites, the Philistines in that area. And this god was worshipped with child sacrifice and orgies. So Moloch was the Baal of the Philistines. Ashtoreth, Queen Jezebel's god or goddess, was the Baal of Zidon, and so on. Today, we use the word God similarly to how Jezebel was using the word Baal or Baal. The only god she hated and rejected was the one true God, the exclusive God beside whom there is no other, and the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. She succeeded at seducing 400 of God's prophets to buy into her ecumenical campaign, to unite all the religions of the land under this false teaching, to get unity, you know, unity. And those who refused, she killed, because they were interfering with unity, you see, unity. 100 of these prophets escaped into Obadiah's caves, where they were hid by him and fed 3 squares a day, or at least 2. Only one lone prophet, Elijah, remained active. Elijah was the only prophet who stood up against Baalism. The rest either succumbed to the Jezebel religion so they could have access to her table, you know, all the goodies, a good retirement fund and blah, blah, blah. You know, the religion of the great whore of Jesuit Rome, or they went low profile, you know, under the radar, you know, that type. These are the cowards who believe the right thing to do is hide in the caves of Obadiah, fearful of their lives. Unlike Paul, these do not say, I count all things done and my life forfeit to Christ. Instead, they huddle together and keep quiet, and they go underground. They withdraw the light. They withdraw the light they were commanded to shine. And they put it underground. They hide it. Instead of being in the world, though not of it, they, being of the type that actually love the world and the things in it, who love this life, well, they, being then of the world, while they hide the light of truth in their caves, and ironically, move themselves out of it. So these are the preachers who say, well, we must preach the gospel, to which, of course, I say amen, and remind them, of course, many of them don't even know what the gospel is, but remind them of Jude, who desired the luxury of writing concerning the common salvation, but was compelled by the Spirit in his time to warn of the coming apostasy. By all means, we must preach the gospel, never stop, and we must do so in the context of those to whom we preach it, which is the example of the apostles, Paul to the Jews and Paul to the Gentiles, Mars Hill Synagogue. Same gospel, of course, preached to the people and to the sins of the people in a very direct fashion, as Peter to his Jewish brethren who participated in the crucifixion of Jesus condemned them, saying, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Whoa. No ecumenical preacher would say such things today. No cave preacher would say it in the open. But Elijah would. These ecumenical preachers are worthless. They have become enemies of the gospel, workers of iniquity. The cave preachers are likewise virtually worthless, hiding their light and storing their salt. These are the types that, being set a watchman on the wall, see the dangers massing against the people of God. They see the Antichrist spirit rising up against the bands and cords of Christ on the horizon, forming the fist God just might use to clobber the house of God, to wake it up. You know, it always begins there, right? Judgment begins in the house of God. And they turn to their congregations and say, well, now let's have a little Bible study to calm us all down and make us all feel good. But the people don't want to think about these things, right? They don't want to think about all these troubles that are coming. So let's wait until it's literally the only thing they can think about and live with every single day for, let's give it 70 years. Well, let's hide the truth from the people because the truth makes them afraid. Excuse me, friend, that's not the pastor's job. It's not his job to make certain everyone feels good, and to do it by failing to look and see what is actually going on. You better watch, watcher. The course I have tried to take is to give a faithful report of what I see as an appointed watchman on the wall. And by the way, that's an analogy taken from Ezekiel 3:17. And in that report, give a biblical understanding of these things and call the people of God to appropriate biblical action and response, that we must stand, wrestle, and resist. That's the biblical call. Not run off and hide, not be passive, and not end up being an assistant to the devil and his agenda instead of being resistant against him. So let's talk some more about all of these things tonight in our live stream, shall we? Because, my friends, things are beginning to come to a head. I mean, we got Russians in Ukraine right now, pushing them hard, and Ukrainians are backing up to what we hope is a pre-planned fallback position, awaiting for the big move to take place. And there are Italian troops massing in New Zealand, of all places. And reports are coming out that some of these soldiers are going door to door to say, listen, things are about to happen. You need to stay in your house. Do not come out. If you hear explosions and shots and even children crying, stay in your house. I heard two dirty suitcases were found in Australia, for heaven's sake. Wow. A lot of things going on in the oceans. You know, China's got some ships off the coast there of Alaska in international waters. They've fired this special weapon, this hypersonic weapon that allows them to literally deliver a surprise attack anywhere in the world they choose. Now, they're not quite there with it. It missed their target by about, I think, 24 miles. So, but when you're shooting nuclear missiles, a 24-mile miss is still a hit. And so we need to be awake to all this. And as I'll bring up tonight, it'll surprise some of you to remember, back in early 2000, really back as early as 1999, but in 2000, I put out a little message called A Pastor's Apology, and I mentioned that God could well stir up an enemy against America from the East, and I even named China as that potential enemy. And it wasn't like a prophecy or something like that, but it was just using the Bible to see what God will do in situations like this. We're in a situation where we've turned our back to God, and the Bible says the nation that forgets God will be turned into hell. And God shows us in the scripture that he raises up an enemy that will come and execute his judgment upon that offending nation. So we had better wake up, my dear friends. Join us this Sunday as we're going to be talking about some specific things we need to do as Christians and that we can do in the exercise of our authority given to us by Christ to stand up against the devil and push him back. And then join me in my live stream tonight when we're talking about some specific actions we can take as salt and light in this world to do the job we're here to do. And if we do our part, you see, that's when God manifests himself in marvelous ways, doing for us what only he can do. And we need God, my dear friends. I've lit the lamps of the church belfry arch. You let me know you see they're on. Call 1-805-314-2114 or leave off the 1-805-314-2114 and leave me a message on our listener response hotline or go to brainmassage.net. That's brainmassage.net for an archive of all kinds of brain massages to work out the knots in your head that'll let you think freely and fully. And anyway, just get it wrong. Hey, God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.
We the people will take this nation back from the unreasonable and wicked men and women who have dragged this once great land to the maw of hell. Or we will fall into the power of those who hate Christ, Christians, and the Bible. Satan wants you to believe the world belongs to him and that you, Christian, have no say and no place in it. But the secret is out. Jesus is king and all mankind are his subjects. Satan has no right to rule an inch of territory in the earth. Learn how to claim the earth for Jesus Christ. Get God's War, Why Christians Should Rule the World. Go to GodsWar2020.com.